Christmas welcomes the Prince of Peace. We're in February, but Christmas welcomes the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Do you remember that? But in the months and life later after Christmas, we tend to forget this. There is the Prince of Peace that's there for 365 days, or 366, depending on the year. He's there as the Prince of Peace all the time, but we tend to forget it, especially when life bears down on us. I was having a short email conversation with my tattoo artist in Winnipeg, and she ends the email with this. I love it. Here's to a slow melt and more peace in the hearts of humankind. That's how she ended. I don't know where she's at with faith. I've had a few conversations as she's working on me, but we can have a good conversation, but I don't know where she's at with Jesus. But then I reply to her, I say yes to a slow melt and peace on earth to humankind, using her word. It seems in short supply, but here's to us and many others as we spread peace and seek peace in our hearts. I'm pulling her in, like, look for peace in your heart. And she concludes, beautifully said, Tim. I like that. Peace? Why are we missing so much peace in our hearts and lives and in the world? Why are we missing peace? My main point last week and this week again, we are to love God with all of our mind. Love God with all of our mind. And the devil knows it. He wants to distract us from loving and serving God. There is a war with our minds. I talked about that last week. We talked about dental hygiene, you know, flossing, brushing teeth. I didn't even talk. Did I talk about Listerine and mouthwash? That's a good thing too. I do that every night. And personal hygiene, shaving, showering, deodorant, whatever you need to do for personal hygiene. And then there's a term I hadn't heard before called mental hygiene. Mental. Our mind. How are we keeping our minds clear and clean and uncluttered? It gets too busy, too much going on, like a racquetball court where a ball is just bouncing around, and we need to open up, not open up our mind to everything, but let a lot of that stuff in our minds out. So the peace of God, I'm getting ahead of myself, so the peace of God can come into our hearts and our minds. Romans 7:23. There is a law, a power. There's something that happens in our life. It's not a law, like you can't do this or shouldn't do this. There's a principle. That's what he's meaning by the word law or power. Within me, that's at war with my mind. There is a battle for our mind. There's a battle. Have you realized that this week as we're talking about our minds? There is a battle. Go with me to John chapter 10. And I love this passage. Very familiar to most of us. But I love this passage. In verse 6, it starts with, those who heard Jesus use this illustration, he's talking about flocks and sheep, didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Now, if you imagine, and maybe you've seen pictures of this, where the shepherds back in Jesus' time, they would either find a cave or they'd find a really secluded grove of trees. trees that was protected, or they make a stone wall, where a stone wall, they put up the stones around, probably about this high, maybe a little higher, and with one entrance. And at night they would bring their sheep in, and they'd be all safe in this area, this safe place. And then he'd stand or sleep or lie down in front of that as the gate. Nobody could get in. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. And he says again, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Those who come in will be saved, or safe. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures, because he's leading them. And they'll go out and they'll have good pastures, good grass to eat on, good food all over the place. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Think about this for a little bit. I was thinking about these verses, and sometimes we just look at the words, but I want you to imagine the picture of a stone wall. Maybe say the size of this stage, and you've got a stone wall all the way around, and then there's a gate right here. And so all the sheep come in. How many ever, they come in and they all sit down. We have our grand puppy with us over the weekend. Little French bulldog, three-legged bulldog. I love that dog. I just, you know, the other grandparents, when John and Delaine go away for the weekend, the other grandparents get the grandkids, we get the dog. And I, you know, he's got his bed in my office and all, in the middle of message prep, I'll reach down. Rub his hand, and he just loves me. He just loves me. I'm so good to him. Anyway, now imagine a shepherd. I know a lot of you are just mocking me, and I just love dogs. Don't put a cat in front of me, I'll love it even more. But anyway, where am I going? Here, sheep. That's what I'm talking about. Sheep. Okay. Squirrel, cat, dog. Sheep. Do you know what a shepherd does? A shepherd loves his sheep. This human loves his grandpuppy. So the shepherd is not just, okay, you're in, good, okay, and sits down and reads his comics or his Bible or something. He's actually going in and checking on the sheep. He's rubbing their head. If you've ever seen shepherds, they love their sheep. They're a gentle animal. Sometimes stupid, but they're a gentle animal. And he'll go around and he'll check them for briars and sticks and all kinds. Check for scrapes and check for injuries. Check for all kinds, broken, whatever it is. He's checking on them. And no doubt he's rubbing their head and stroking the back of it. And they know their shepherd. They follow that shepherd everywhere. We put our grandpuppy on a leash, but I'm sure I could go anywhere and he would follow right beside me. I don't test it, but he could. And that's the way it is with sheep. And that's the picture that Jesus is talking about, being a gate, but being the shepherd. I am, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd for you and me. He's our shepherd. 24/7, 365 to 366 days a year. He protects us, and practically speaking, he wants to give us peace. When the sheep are in their sheepfold, they are at peace. They are protected. Why does this matter? Who wants to live in anxiety, fear, worry, and overwhelm? Anybody there? You want that? No. Jesus gives us peace because he is the Prince of Peace. Next verse there, Dwight. I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. Jesus wants, the shepherd wants to give us, he gives us peace, offers peace. And the gift and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. You look for peace in the world. And even though my friend will say, yeah, peace to the whole world, to peace to humankind, you're not going to find it. There'll be pockets. But that peace is fleeting. It's a gift the world cannot give. But you don't have to be troubled and afraid. It's both a don't be troubled, but it's, you don't have to. He looks as a sheep and goes, you don't have to be troubled and afraid. I'm here. This is a safe place. I'm here. John chapter 16, verse 3. I don't think we have it up there. I missed it. But he talks about, in this world you will have trouble. But I give you peace. I've overcome the world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about anything. Instead, pray about a couple of things. Just one or two. That's all I can handle. Just pray about one or two. No. God says pray about everything. Everything that worries us. Everything that brings us fear. Everything that overwhelms. Everything that brings us anxiety. Everything. Can you say everything? Everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for what he's done. Next verse. Then you will experience God's peace. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. There's a guard around our minds as we walk with Jesus, as we walk with God, as we tell him what's going on in our life. There's a peace. Next verse. Fix your thoughts. Fix. Almost like crazy glue. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. What are the other things that are going on in our mind? What else do we allow into our mind? I'll get to that. But he's saying, fix your minds on these good things, these uplifting things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Next verse. Keep putting into practice all you've learned, especially these verses. All you learned and received from me, the Apostle Paul, everything you heard from me and saw me do. The Apostle Paul talks lots about peace. Jesus talks lots about peace. Lots about peace. Colossians chapter 2. Oops, lost it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 6, he says, and now, just as you accept Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep and let your life be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Grow your roots. Go down into Jesus, and all this will come. Then verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you. Grab you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers. Think about this. I'm leading up to the application with this verse here. empty philosophies in the world. There's all kinds of thinking, there's philosophies, there's ideas. Empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense. You know, you look at some things, you go, that doesn't sound, it sort of sounds, really? Like, we have to think through things when it comes to us. It comes from human thinking. Not all human thinking is wrong, but it comes from just purely human thinking or the spiritual powers of the world. The devil and his angels and his minions that are breathing thoughts into our minds. We talked about that last week. Thoughts and lies and false beliefs. He's breathing that into us. And he's saying, don't let these philosophies, the nonsense, the human thinking, the spiritual powers, don't let them capture you. Don't let them capture you. Verse 8. Rather than from Christ. For Christ lives, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God. In Christ is all the fullness of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. They knew God. Talks about in the verses before about how people knew God. They look around nature and there's a God, there's a God. Lots of people say there's a God. I believe in God, but they don't. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. There's a whole bunch of people, and sometimes that happens to us, but there's a whole bunch of people who will believe in God, but they really won't worship Him. They won't love Him. And they begin to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. We come up with our own ideas. People come up with their own ideas of what God is like. Then it says, as a result, their minds are dark and confused. Dark and confused. Think about that for a moment. Dark and confused. When you get to know people, maybe some of your relatives, some of your friends, you'll look at the struggle that people naturally have, but especially that of those that aren't following God, there'll be a darkness in their minds. They can't think clearly. They're maybe overwhelmed and it looks like there's a cloud over them. And they experience this cloud of darkness. It could be all kinds of things, depression and anxiety. And we talk a lot about what's going on in mental health in our society and all that mental disease and all that kind of stuff. And I know there's a lot of work in that whole area and psychology and stuff. But there's a side of our minds that when we don't acknowledge God, and we can do that as Christians sometimes. We go to everything else and we forget about God. Then we wonder why our minds are sometimes dark and confused. When we go through a time and we are confused, we're overwhelmed, one of the things that we need to check back with is go, okay, where is God? Where is God? And we need to draw ourselves back into that relationship with God. Draw ourselves back in there. Now, I'm going to move towards the application. Noah, would you come up here? And we're going to talk about something here for a few minutes. But I was listening to a podcast, and Dr. Kyra Bobinet said, we need to reclaim the sovereignty of our minds. Think about that. We need to reclaim the sovereignty of our minds to put down, I'll get to that, Those narratives are controlling how we think and what we will think about. Let me read it again. We need to reclaim the sovereignty of our minds to put down fill in the blank. That could be TV, that could be podcasts, that could be magazines, that could be books, it could be internet, it could be anything. Put that down. Those narratives are controlling how we think and what we will think about. I want us to look at all our technology, and it is my point in this message is about peace, God's peace, and how He wants to give that to us, but how we get distracted and how the devil used things to pull us away, distract us, squirrel, cat, dog. And he pulls us away, and she's saying, those narratives are controlling how we think and what we think about. Think about what are the people that are leading social media called? They're called social media influencers. Influencers! Not just talkers. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're influencing us. Logarithms on our phones. They're influencing us. So now, we went for breakfast. We've done a couple of breakfasts, and the first breakfast, you really challenged me.
Sure.
So now, how have you simplified your life when it comes to media?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's something that I'm fairly passionate about, and I've tried some different avenues to simplify my life. To social media, and there are some different apps you can try and different solutions. But for me, the solution that I have found has been a different phone entirely.
Okay.
An older one.
Okay, how old are you?
22.
22. And you're going to an older phone. Help us understand.
There's a company that offers a flip phone for the modern era. Without the internet on it. And so I did some research and decided that was something I was going to try. And so here it is.
I've never seen something like that.
Yeah. I've had some people ask me, like, oh, you went back to a flip phone. And I tell them, like, no, I never had a flip phone. Like, I grew up in the smartphone era, you know. So.
Yeah. Now, how many of you remember the Palm Pilot? Palm Pilot and the BlackBerry. Yeah, apparently I saw that they're coming back with a BlackBerry keyboard that you can slip on your phone.
They had that before.
Did they? Okay, I gotta get me one of those. That's great. Yeah, excellent. And anyways, okay, carry on.
For sure. And you know, there were a few reasons that spurred that decision on. And one of those was less distraction. Mm-hmm. I mean, the internet is a very distracting thing. And you talk about the algorithms. They're designed.
Oh yeah, algorithms, yeah. Not logarithms. I was searching logarithms. Okay, thank you.
That's math I don't know how to do. Algorithms, yeah, and they're designed for maximum retention. They're tailored for you.
Yes.
To keep your mind occupied as best they can, right? To take your time to advertise to you. And that was a big thing. I was wasting a lot of time on social media and getting wrapped up in consumerism as well. You know, you have all these advertisements, and we have so many things advertised to us every single day. And if you take, I challenge you for an hour, if you're in Winnipeg or if you're watching TV, just try and count the amount of different products that get sold to you or introduced to you. You know, it's amazing. And so, less distraction, that was one motivating factor. And I found, with this change, The Return of Boredom. Mm. And I'm reading a good book, which talks a little bit about that. And I think boredom is a bit of a lost art in our society.
What's the title of the book, and then Rachel can get it, because it'd be a good book.
The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. That's right.
Yeah.
The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I'm reading it for the second time. It's a really good book. And he talks about boredom. And with the return of boredom comes moments to pray throughout your day. That's one advantage. You know, you have more time to think. You have more time to sit back. Sometimes it's in public, you know, and you really don't have anything to do. You're waiting in line or waiting for a coffee, and it's peaceful. And you talk about peace, and with that comes a return to peace. That's what I've found in my own life. You can enjoy moments a little bit more when you're not scrolling again or moving on to the next thing. You can just wait.
Or you can talk to someone.
Or you can talk to somebody.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. And what do you have there?
This is my notebook. And it lives in my pocket. You can get it online.
As opposed to
your notes on my phone. Yeah. Yeah. I have to find a lot of ways around all the things that iPhone provides. And so I did bring two of those
along.
So it kind of went from one phone, which is convenient and it all fits in your pocket, to a camera that does not fit in your pocket. I got that on Marketplace.
That's a pretty
cool
camera?
Yeah, it's an old Canon camera with a screen. So, it's not as practical, I won't lie. The whole lifestyle is not as practical. It is more adventurous, though, and that's one thing I love about it. And there's an MP3 player in there somewhere.
Well, pull it out.
I don't remember.
There you go.
Wow.
And you've got all your iTunes music?
No.
Or Spotify or what?
No, I used to have all music. Yeah, Apple. I don't have all my music. But I've been buying CDs like crazy and borrowing them and slowly burning my music onto here. So I have it. And one thing I've noticed, just with this device, is when you're listening to a good song that you enjoy, you don't get bothered by notifications anymore. That's one thing that I hate. You know, you're going to music and boom, another distraction. And so, you know, you get to just listen to music. Well, that's really good.
Okay, so now I brought Noah up here because what Noah has done to me is he's, like, I have an iPhone. It's on airplane mode, which should always be when you're in church. And it really, I don't know if I can do it, but it's caused me to think, what if I got rid of my iPhone that I've had for many, many years and went to something simple? Now, I brought Noah up here not to convince us to do that. All I want us to do is to think differently. What could I do? What could I change? So if you were to wrap up what this whole thing has done for you, what has it done?
Oh, wow. Not to steal straight from the scriptures, but
steal.
Taking back control of my mind. That would be the biggest thing, I think. And taking back control of my time.
Yeah, perfect. And there's a sense of not being cluttered. Mm-hmm. And so somebody emails you, you only get it at the end of the day.
I gotta check my computer.
Yeah.
A good solution.
So text and phoning if people really need to get a hold of you. Mm-hmm. But other than that, and life is simplified.
Absolutely.
This is a really good challenge for me. So it's been really good. So good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very much. So now, Cody and Ryan to come up. And I want us to move into a very practical time of peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. God wants to keep us in peace. all whose thoughts are fixed on you, God. John 14:27. I am leaving you a gift. God gives us a gift of peace. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. You can't get it in the world. It's only through Jesus, the true peace. So don't be troubled. We don't have to be troubled or afraid or anxious or overwhelmed or fearful. The peace of God. Jesus gives peace to us because he is the Prince of Peace. There's a helpful app that I have on my phone, a couple of us do. It's called Pause. And if you want, just look it up. And it's called Pause. It's by John Eldridge. And there's a line in there that is really helpful that I've gone to many times. And that phrase is, Lord Jesus, I give you everyone and everything. I give everyone and everything to you. Can you go to that, Dwight, please? I give you everyone. Should be there somewhere. I give you everyone and everything. Yeah. I give you everyone and everything to you. We're talking about uncluttering the mind and how we take all this stuff and we give it, because Jesus is not going to cram peace into our minds. And at the end of the day, during the day, at the beginning of the day, maybe several times a day, we need to say, Jesus, whatever's on my mind, whatever's bugging me, whatever's overwhelming me, whatever's causing fear, I give it to you. I receive peace. So as the guys are playing, I want you to just close your eyes. If it helps you to just put your hands out. And I want to make sure that we have some time here to receive peace. So, close your eyes. If you would, if you can, or look down, don't look around. You put your hands in front of you, or your hands on your heart. Take a breath, a deep breath, breathe in. Thank you.
bugs you, maybe even angers you. Lord Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I give everyone and everything to you. Lord Jesus, you love us so much as your shepherd. You long to give your sheep peace. Jesus, we pray. This morning we receive your peace into our hearts, into our minds. The peace you give, Jesus. We give everything and everyone to you. In exchange for your peace. In the name of Jesus, I remove all anxiety and fear and worry and anger and overwhelm. All those things that are distracting. Thank you.